Morning, everyone. Good Isra Chag. Good Erev Shabbos. We got both covered today. We are today on Daf Samech Tes. Today's Daf is Daf Ayin. So let us make our way back to where we should be. The discussion we're having right now is the status of its Duki. The Mishnah going all the way back to Daf Samech Aleph. Brought down the story where the Tzduki was living in the chutz of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says to his sons, this is going to present a problem. So there are two narratives in terms of what exactly Rabbi Gamliel what was he told by his father. So there's two versions of the story. There's Rabbi Yehuda and then there's Rabbi Meir. So according to our Mishnah first brought in Rabbi Meir and then Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Meir says, just going all the way back to Samech Aleph, Amud Beis is starting with the Mishnah. So the first narrative of the story of Rabbi Meir was, let's strike first, meaning let's take items from our house into the chatzar, or from the chatzar into our house. That way we're going to show a proprietary act over the chatzar. This is after the tzduki was mevatel's rishos. Obviously his bittul is a good bittul, and by us doing a proprietary act, so whatever the tzduki does afterwards is going to be a totally non-event. He will not be able to rescind his bittul, and so therefore that'll work out. That's narrative number one. According to Rabbi Yehuda, however, who provides a different narrative, he says that back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Balashan Acher, Maharuva, Sutzar Chechem, B'mavui, Ad Shelo Yotzi V'yotzar Aleichem. What's going to end up happening is that come Shabbos, so he's going to create a problem. Even if he does bittul, it doesn't matter, he's going to create a problem. And so therefore, anything that we need to take care of, we need to take care of before Shabbos. Okay? It makes his bittul non-rescindable. Now, why should that be exactly? You're right.
The fact that I have stuff there, and a normal chatzar has stuff for multiple people.
Right, correct. But in other words, here he relinquished, which means now that he's no longer part of the chatzar. He removed himself from the whole chatzar. But what he could do, however, which we'll be talking about over the course of today, is in general you can rescind your bittul. You can be mevatel, but then you can rescind your bittul. But once they do an act that concretizes his bittul, so it's no longer rescindable. In fact, the Gemara on the very bottom of Samech Ches Amud Beis makes exactly this point, right? Meaning, it doesn't work anymore. Somehow they concretized it, okay, and they made it non-rescindable. Okay, was at the Mishnah, but then we quoted a Braisa. The Braisa on the bottom of Samech Ches Amud Beis, right, going back to the bottom now, 68b, the Braisa basically covers also this discussion as well. First of all, we already started, let me just go backtrack just one quick step. The Gemara says, first of all, well, how did the Mishnah get involved in the topic of Tzduki, when that clearly wasn't the discussion of the Mishnah? The discussion of the Mishnah was a non-Jew. So the Gemara says that was exactly the question of the Mishnah, which was missing. It was a chesura mechsura in the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah wanted to know, is it Tzduki have the status of a non-Jew, or does he have the status of a Jew? And then that's debated. That's a machlok between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel. Tanakhama says status is of a non-Jew. Rabbi Gamliel says status is of a Jew. As I mentioned already yesterday, this question of status of a Tzduki, it's not a global question of how do we treat him in general in halacha, meaning in general in halacha, a Tzduki is a Jew, but vis-a-vis these halachas of Erevin, what exactly is this going to be a status? If his status is a Jew, so he can contribute to the Erev, he could perform Bittul HaRishus like any other Jew. If his status is of a non-Jew, so he can't do, he can't contribute to the Erev, nor can he be Mevat HaRishus. I guess Schira would be the only option with the Tzduki. So that is a machlokus in the Mishnah, which again, you're not going to see it in the Mishnah. It's Chesura Mechsura, and then the Mishnah goes on to point out Rabbi Gamliel, what he was told by his father regarding the Tzduki living in there. And it seems pretty clear, at least according to Rabbi Meir's version of the narrative, that that the Tzduki is considered a Jew, where he could do Bittul HaRishos. We're on Samech Tes Amud Aleph. We're going to start the two dots. I know I quickly ran through it yesterday, but we're going to do it again right now, because now we're going to go over the second version, the second narrative. Rabbi Yehuda's narrative in terms of what Rabbi Gamliel was told by his father when they were living in the chatzar with the Tzduki. Amar Mar, Samach Tes Amad Aleph, right in the middle. Rav Yehuda Omer, Baloshan Acheres, Ma'aruv Asut Tzor Chechem, B'mavui Ad Shelo Techshach, B'yoser Aleichem. In other words, anything we want to do, any carrying that we want to do, from our house to the chutzah, from the chutzah to the house, we must do it all before Shabbos. Now, Alma Nachriu. So what does that tell you? Sounds like what it tells you is that according to this narrative, Rabbi Gamliel is basically calling him a Nachri, giving him the status of a Nachri. Because can't he do Bittul? Meaning, why? What's wrong with Bittul? The Ha'anan Ad Shelo Yotzi Tzanan. So the problem is the following. It's a technical problem, but still a problem. Meaning, it sounds like what Rabbi Gamliel is worried about, or what his father's worried about, is that come Shabbos, he's going to take something from his house into the chaser and rescind his Bittul. Which makes it sound like he made a Bittul. Well, the only way we can make such a statement, the only way he can make a Bittul is if he has the status of a Jew. So, Ema, Ashelo Yotzi Hayom. So the first attempted answer of this issue is, the word Yotzi, don't understand it the way we normally understand it. We thought Yotzi means until he carries from his house to the chatzar. Not here. Yotzi over here means Yotzi Hayom. The day is taken out, meaning the day comes to an end. Once the day comes to an end, he de facto will aser the chatzar. Why? Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's because he does not have the status of a Jew. Okay. By the way, this first pshat, the Gemara is going to give a second pshat. This first pshat is difficult for the simple reason that, as we just went over, the way the Mishnah lines up, the Tanakhama says that Itzduki is not a Jew, and Rabbi Gamliel says Itzduki is a Jew. So essentially now, and then Rabbi Gamliel tells a story about him and his father in the Chatzar. Wouldn't you think that the whole point of that story is to accentuate Rabbi Gamliel's point, position, which is that Stuki has the status of a Jew? And then the Gemara says, and here's what Dad told us, that once Shabbos comes, that's it, we're done. Why? Because he has the status of a non-Jew. Right? How is that supporting Rabbi Gamliel's position? So it's a little bit difficult. I'm not really sure what to do with that. But, okay, I'm raising it as something to think about. E by same alokasha. Kan b'momer l'chalos Shabbosos b'tzina, kan b'momer l'chalos Shabbosos b'farhesya. So the Gemara says, no. Really, the truth of the matter is that Stuki does not have the status of a non-Jew. Stuki has the status of a Jew. Okay, and why is it now that Ephraim and Gamliel really holds that Stuki has the status of a Jew? So why can't he do Bittul? What's the issue? So the issue over here is, as we pointed out yesterday's daf, I'm going to just quickly review. Itzduki picks and chooses, meaning Itzduki, you know, has a, I can't fully explain his ideology, but regardless, in other words, without getting into the core of the issue, but in other words, he picks and chooses. And sometimes what he picks and chooses are even Isuri Torah, meaning he won't comply to Shabbos. So here now it's going to depend. If he's a momel chal Shabbos b'tzina, if he's a mechal Shabbos, but he does so only privately, okay, so in other words, there at that point in time, he doesn't lose any status. If he's a mechal Shabbos b'farhesya, publicly violate Shabbos, so at that point in time, he loses status. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that in the story, with Rabbi Gamliel and his father in the chatzar, living with the tzduki, that was a particular tzduki, one who was mechal Shabbos b'farhesya, and it is that for that reason that the chutzner is not going to be good. So the Gemara says, "V by same alokash kam b'mumel chal Shabbos b'tzina kam b'mumel chal Shabbos b'farhesa kimanas lahaditanya." So the Gemara says, "Look, I'll show you a brisa. Brisa says mumer v'galui panim harizeinum avat reshus." So if I have a mumer, loosely translated, a mumer is someone who rejects the Torah. We'll describe that in just a moment, a little bit better. And gilui panim. Means that he has chutzpah. Now, I don't know if there's one particular issue in the Torah that says that you're not allowed to have chutzpah. In fact, a number of us can be accused of having chutzpah. But over here, obviously, when the Gemara talks about gilui panim, the Brais talks about gilui panim, it means more than just simply, you know, he's a little bit brazen. We'll clarify this in just a moment. Harei ze'eino mevatel reshus, so he cannot be mevatel reshus, meaning does not have the status of a Jew. If he had the status of a Jew, so then, like any other Jew, he could be mevatel reshus. This particular person cannot. So the Gemara now first wants to know, let's see if we can even first define the terms. Gilui panim momer, gilui panim momer have. So first of all, this idea of gilui panim. The Gemara says, in of itself, you can't say it, it doesn't have any meaning by itself. In other words, in the context of Mumer, it has meaning. But in the context of Mumer, it has meaning. So basically, Gilui Panim and Mumer are the same thing. Ela Mumer, big Gilui Panim. So the Gemara says, okay, he rejects the Torah with chutzpah. Right, that's how we're going to understand that. What does that mean? He rejects the Torah with chutzpah, meaning he has no shame. Meaning he'll be mechal Shabbos, not only privately, but publicly as well. So, eino yoch levato rishus. So he can't be mevato rishus. Now that we have the Braisa all clear, the Braisa is talking about somebody who rejects Torah. Somebody rejects Torah publicly. Now, what's the story? He can't be mevato rishus. He loses his status of a Jew. And because he loses his status of a Jew, he can't do bita rishus. So, keman kerev Yehuda. So the Gemara says, good. Now that we got all that clear, now we'll go back to our Mishnah. And we'll go back to the Braisa on the bottom of Samech Chesamid Beis, and now we'll line it up together with Rav Yehuda, because remember, according to Rav Yehuda, how does his narrative of the story go? My father, Rabbi Gamliel says, my father said to me, we were living in the Chatzar with a Tzduki. This particular Tzduki was a, now we could say it because we have the Gemara to back us up, this Tzduki was Megalapanim, he was brazen, he was chutzpahdik, he rejected the Torah and he did so publicly, he was violating Shabbos publicly. So now, vis-a-vis Erevin, he loses his status as a Jew, and so therefore, he can't be Mevat Rishus. We go into Shabbos, we're done, we're stuck. We won't be able to carry into the Chatzar. Gemara tells an interesting story. How would the Nafak be Chumrasa de Medusha? Somebody was going out with a ring. Rashi goes over exactly the situation regarding the ring, but the point being is that it's a ring that he's not allowed to carry on Shabbos. And so he goes out with such a ring on Shabbos. Kevin the Chazal of Rav Yehuda Nasiya, he bumps into Rav Yehuda Nasi. Now, not Rav Yehuda Hanasi, that's the Masadur HaMishnayos, but I believe it's a grandson. Okay, but the point is still going to be the same basic point. He bumps into a significant rav of the community, right? The leader of the Jewish people, Kasye. So what does he do? Quickly, he hides the ring, right? In other words, he's okay with Chil Shabbos, but he's not chutzpahdik about it, meaning he does it privately. Amar, so when Rav Yehuda Nasiya sees that, he says, Kigon zeh, mevalta v'shus Rav Yehuda. So if we were to adopt the position of Rav Yehuda, which means that somebody who was Mechal Shabbos before Hesya cannot be mevalta v'shus, meaning loses status as a Jew regarding Erevin, but you see this guy over here, he's good. Meaning, in the context of our discussion, he's good. Meaning, he didn't lose his status as a Jew. Because he was not brazen, he wasn't chutzpahdik about his chilul Shabbos. So therefore, I would count him in terms of the Erev and in terms of bitul rishus. By the way, I believe, hopefully I'm right about this, that whenever we're having discussion bitul rishus, it means also he could contribute to the Erev. Meaning bitul rishus just simply means that if he failed to contribute to the Erev, so then he has the ability to be mevat rishus. But I'm assuming, I have no reason to assume otherwise, that much like he could be mevat rishus, he could also contribute to the Erev as well. Okay. I'm Ravuna Ezer Yisrael Mumer, Zeh HaMechalel Shabbosos Befar Hesya. Okay, and now, as long as we touched on the topic of Mumer, so now the Gemara is going to sit back and discuss a little bit further this whole idea of a Mumer. Now again, once somebody has the status of Mumer, so it's not just an Erevin halacha, meaning a Mumer L'chol HaTorah Kula, someone who rejects the entirety of the Torah, so he also loses a lot of status regarding other halachas as well. You remember the beginning of Chulin, where the Gemara over there says, HaKol Shochtin, the Mishnah. First Mishnah in Chulin, HaKol Shochtin. Everybody could shecht, with exception. So who are some of those exceptions? So it's about the first three or four dapim of Chulin, but one of those exceptions is a mumer, meaning once you have someone who's a mumer, L'chol HaTorah Kula, so he can't shecht. He has no... and his shechita is not going to be a valid shechita. So in other words, once you get to status of mumer, so it's not just by Erevin, by other halachas as well, you're done. You lose a lot of your rights and privileges as being a Jew. So, Amar Rav Huna, Ezer Yisrael Mumer, Zeh Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesya. So this is it, meaning it's a backbreaker. If you're Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesya, so now you have status as a Mumer. So, Amalei Rav Nachman, Kamani, Karab Meir, Damer, Chashal, Davecha, Chashal, Chol, Torah, Kula. So first of all, I don't understand. Meaning there is a general debate in terms of at what point in time do you receive the status of Mumer. According to Rav Meir, once a person rejects one halacha, and I assume the Gemara means according to Rav Meir that he does so publicly, although I'm not sure if I'm right about that, but I'm throwing it out there. According to Rav Meir, once you see him violating one halacha publicly, the default assumption is he's chash l'chol Torah kula, meaning that's probably a sentiment about the entire Torah. Again, you could say Rav Meir is choshesh l'miyuta. I'm not sure if that really fits in over here, but again, that's shitas Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, so if we're holding like Rav Meir, or if Rav Hun is holding like Rav Meir, I don't get it. It shouldn't be about Shabbos. It should really be about any mitzvah in the Torah. Afilu ba'echa or any isser in the Torah. So chash l'chol Torah kula. Afilu ba'echa mikol isser m'shabat Torah nami. And ikar rabbanan hamin chash l'davar echa lo havi chash l'chol Torah kula. And according to the Chachamim, you see somebody eating non-kosher, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's his feeling and sentiment about kol Torah kula. It could be that he just it's just a kashrus issue. But by other halachas, he's subscribing to other halachas. So then, if that's true, if you see someone's mechal Shabbos, okay, that's Shabbos. But that doesn't necessarily reflect his position regarding kol Torah kula. So, lo havi chashul kol Torah kula, ad dehave mumra la'avodas kochavim. Until he's a mumra la'avodas zara. Meaning, once you're mumra for avodas zara, so that is a rejection of the entire Torah. Even if there's no evidence that you are violating any other issue in the Torah. Rashi points out, you can take a look at the top Rashi, Samach Tes Amud Beis, Da'u Vadei Chash L'chol Mili Da'amar Mar Chamur Avodas Galilim Shekol Amoda Ba Kekofer B'chol HaTorah Kula. Once you are in Avodah Zarah, it's the rejection of the entirety of the remainder of the Torah. So Avodah Zarah is a backbreaker. But what I don't understand is this statement to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that once you see someone violating Shabbos, so that's it. So if he's holding like Rav Meir, fine, but then it shouldn't be limited to Shabbos. And if he's holding like the Chachamim, so then, so what? So he's a violator of Shabbos. That shouldn't by itself give him the status of Mummer. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Litein Rishos, Ulevata Rishos. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, exactly. Rav Huna wasn't talking about the global status of Mummer, meaning you're right. Either you go subscribe to Rav Meir, or you subscribe to the Chachamim, and you're right. Rav Huna's statement wasn't made globally. It was made vis-a-vis it's a localized discussion regarding Erevin. Once you see somebody who's a Mechal Shabbos, so now in the world of Erevin, now he has status of a non-Jew. But it's not a Mummer discussion. It's not a question of labeling him as a Mummer. It's just a limited discussion to Erevin. Can he be Mevat Rishus? No, no longer. Can he be Nosei Rishus? No longer. Meaning he's just simply not in the world of Erevin. Uchid Italian, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, that makes this exact point. Yisrael Mummer, Mishamer Shabbat Beshuk, Mevat Rishus, Sheinu Mishamer Shabbat Beshuk, Sheinu Mevat Rishus. Memnei Shamer, Yisrael Nota Rishus, Nosei Rishus, Uvenachri Achi Yiskor. Okay, so if he's Shomer Shabbos, sorry, let me do it the other way. If he's Mechalo Shabbos privately, he's still in the world of Erevin. He could cede his rights. He can receive somebody's rights. In other words, he's still an Erevin. But once he's Mechal Shabbos Beshuk, once he is violating Shabbos in the marketplace, so now vis-a-vis Erevin, he no longer has the status of a Jew. But not necessarily because he's a Mummer, just simply because he does not have the status just for Erevin. So I think so. And I suggested also yesterday, again, I don't know if I'm right about this, but also because this whole idea of Jew versus non-Jew regarding Erevin is shelo yilam dedem imasav, right? We don't want to learn from him. So it could be, I suggested yesterday that also maybe the story with the Tzduki as well, that it could be regarding this person as well, that's why he drops. But you may be right also. And your explanation is a simpler one as well. So the Uvenachri Achi Yizkor Ketzad Omer Lo Rishusi Kino Yilach Rishusi Mevutelach Kane Ve'Ein Zarech Lezakos. Okay, and then the Brisa just simply goes through the procedure of how exactly you cede your rights. But that's one way to explain it. So again, it all goes back to the statement to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that you see someone who's Mechal Shabbos, so that's it. He's a Mummer. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, should everything really ride on Shabbos? If you subscribe to a mayor, it doesn't matter what the issur is. If you subscribe to the Chachamim, it's only Avodah Zarah. So the first approach in Rav Huna is, Rav Huna was not making the global statement of Mummer. Rav Huna was just talking about in the world of Erevin. Rav Ashi Amar, Haitanuhu de Chamira Allah Shabbos Kavodah Zarah. Rav Ashi says, or We can have Rav Huna making the statement, and Rav Huna is with this Braisa, supports this Braisa, or I should say rather the Braisa, yeah, is supported by this Braisa, which is that, yes, we're talking about the global Mumar, and Avodah Zarah and Shabbos are tantamount to one another. Meaning, Kedetanya, Mikem lo kulchem prat lamumar, Mikem bachem chalakti v'lo be'umos. This drasha comes up a number of times throughout Shas. Basically, we're talking about who can bring a carbon. Who's fit, who's qualified to bring a carbon. These are psukim from the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, where the Torah says, if somebody from you, so Mikem v'lo kulchem, some of you can't bring a carbon, meaning prat lamumar. A mummer can't bring a carbon. Mikem, bachem chalakti v'lo ba'umos. Now, in terms of kruma shkafa, so that's only by Jew. Meaning, interestingly enough, if you have a non-Jew who wants to bring a carbon, you don't have to give him any type of test and hashkafa, right? An ideology. Meaning, he wants to bring a carbon, great. Only from the Jew is it going to make a difference between whether he's a mummer or a non-mummer. But by a guy, for reasons that, whatever the reasons are, I don't know, but by God, there's no test in religion. There's no religion test. So mina behema lahavi bnei adam hadomim lebehema. And mina behema. Now, obviously, mina behema. The simple pshat of the pasuk is, what are you going to bring as a carbon? You're going to bring an animal. But over here, the Gemara darshins. This, if I'm going to guess, I'm probably Taurus Kohanim. Okay, but that's just a guess. Either way, mina behema lahavi bnei adam hadomim lebehema. People that behave like animals. In fact, you have somebody who's Poshe Yisrael, right? He's just a sinner. So you accept his karbanos, and in fact, the receiving of his karbanos probably will encourage him to do tshuva. Chutz, but who cannot bring a karban? Min ha-mumar, v'ha-menaseh chiayin, v'ha-machalal shabbos b'farhesya. Except for a mumar. Now the way we're going to read the Bryce originally is, and someone who pours wine libation towards Avodah Zarah, and someone who's Mechal Shabbos B'Farasya. So the Gemara says, now, let's see if we can get everything straight. Agufa Kasha. Amart mikem v'lo kulchem lo tzitz ha-mumar. First, the Braisa says, if you're a mumar, you can't bring a carbon. Then, ha-dotini mekablan karbanos mipos shi'isol. Then the Braisa says, if he's a sinner, we'll take his karbanos. In fact, we want to take his karbanos because then it'll encourage him to do tshuva. So halokasha reisha b'mumar l'cholat Torah kula. So the Gemara says, not a problem. When we first rejected the mumar and said a mumar can't bring a carbon, it means a mumar, meaning with the full status of a mumar. A mumar l'cholat Torah kula. Mitziyasa b'mumar l'davar echad. And when we get to the next part of the next clause of the Braisa, where basically you're Poshe Yisrael, come in, bring your carbon. If we could, that's only talking about a mumar l'davar echad. Okay, he does not have the status of a mummer. He violates one isser. We'll throw around the term mummer, but we don't mean that as a category. He's not categorically a mummer. Ema seifa, but then what happens when you get to the end of the braisa? Chutz min ha-mummer v'amnaseh chiayin. Hai mummer hechidami. So the Gemara says, now, what kind of mummer are we discussing over here? E mummer l'chol ha-Torah, hai nereisha. Now, if he's a mummer for the entirety of the Torah, we covered that one already. That was Mikem Veloman a Mummer. Ila Davar Echad Kashim Mitziasa. Now, if he's just a Mummer for one Avera, so what? His Poshe Yisrael, well, we'll take his Karbanos. Elalav Haki Kamar, Chutz Min a Mummer Lanasech Ulechal Shabbos Mefar Hesya. Good. What we meant by that last part of the Braisa is that there are two exceptions to the rule. Meaning, you could be violating one Isra in the Torah, and you have full status as a Mummer. And that is A, Avodah Zarah, B, Chil Shabbos. Let me be clear, Chil Shabbos Befar Hesya. Right? Chutz men amur melanasech lechal Shabbos Befar Hesya. Ama, Avodah Zarah v'Shabbos, ki adad einenu shmamina. So you see that according to this Braisa, if you reject the entire Torah, so you're a mummer. If you reject one mitzvah or one iser, you're not a mummer. You're Poshe Yisrael, but you're not a mummer. You'll bring a karban, you don't have status. There are two exceptions according to this Braisa, and that is Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. So what do you see from this Braisa? That Shabbos is in the same category as Avodah Zarah. Once you reject Shabbos publicly, you now have the status of a mummer. Now we go back to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, on the bottom of the previous Amud, that a person's Michal Shabbos before Hesya. So that's it. He's not an Erevin. So the first way we explained it is that was a localized point for Erevin. Now, our second approach, which is Rav Ashi's approach, is no. Is that once you're Mechal Shabbos B'far Esya, you have full status of a Mummer, and so therefore, it's not a localized Erevin Halacha. Rav Huna was making a statement, which is basically the same point as the Braisa. Okay. Or to put it really simply, he postulates like the Braisa. Okay, good. That takes us to our discussion, our new discussion for today, and that is now the next Mishnah. Okay, basically, let me just give a quick synopsis of what's about to happen in our Mishnah over here. We're continuing now with the discussion of Bittul HaRishus, but we're going to get much more practical in terms of how Bittul actually works. You see, let's imagine now that we're living in a chatzar, and every single person in this room is a homeowner in the chatzar. Okay, now, again, what we should be doing is we should be making an Eruv. That's really point number one. Meaning, by making an Eruv now, we're all going to unify, we're all going to become now one entity, we're basically incorporating into one single entity, and that would be how an Eruv works. If any one of us in this room fails to contribute to the Eruv, I'll use myself as an example, so that way, only I need to get embarrassed. So if I didn't contribute to the Eruv, so now the Eruv doesn't work, meaning because I didn't contribute. So now what can be done? So what I can do now, if I didn't contribute to the Eruv, is I could be Mevatel my Rishus, which means, on the simplest level, is that I have ownership and rights to the Chatzer, I'm ceding them. I'm ceding from the union, I'm no longer considered now, for this Shabbos, to be an owner of this Chatzer, so that basically now, I'm a non-entity. I'm a non-entity in the Chatzer. The rest of us in this room, aside from me, made an Eruv, so now we're good. Now, when I say we're good, what does that mean exactly? It means that for the rest of you who are homeowners in this chatzer, you can transfer from your house to the chatzer. You can transfer from the chatzer to your house. I, on the other hand, who have ceded my rights to the chatzer, so I can't. I can't carry from my house to the chatzer because it's not my chatzer. I've ceded my rights. Okay, so in other words, by me being mevatel my rishus, I have made lives better for you. Right? Let's remember, I really should have contributed to the Eruv to begin with. But by ceding my rights to the Chatzer, I've now made it better for you. I've allowed you to carry from your house to the Chatzer, from the Chatzer into your house, and I of course can't, because it's not my Chatzer. Let me ask you this question, which is what the Mishnah here is going to discuss. Can you go into my house and transfer from my house into the Chatzer? Can you take any item that belongs to me and move it from the house to the Chatzer?
Should be able.
Okay, good. So if you remember yesterday's daf, it's a machlokas tanayim. The core question that comes out is, when I'm mevatel rishus to my chatzar, am I also being mevatel rishus to my house as well? That was a machlokas between tanayim, between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanakhama says, I'm only giving up the rights to the chatzar, not to my house. So according to the Tanakhama, that would mean no. You cannot come into my house and transfer items from my house into the chatzar. Okay, according to Rabbi Eliezer, oddly enough, yes, I'm ceding both the rights to my chatzar and to my house as well. The Gemara already made this point, I'm just reiterating the Gemara's point. Strange, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a guest in my house? Yeah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when I'm a vatal my rishus, I'm a guest in my house, it's not my house. Okay, and right, I hear you mean as literally as you can, my mikasa sukasa, right? Really, my house is your house. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can go into my house and carry from my house into the chatzar.
Is it only in terms of Shabbos or something in Mamanos?
Right.
Is it stealing or something?
I don't know. It's a good question. The Gemara talks about Schirus, but this is regarding a non-Jew. So the Gemara basically asked that very question, and that turned into a machlokas between the Amorayim. You need schira ru'ua, schira bria, meaning in terms of rental, the Gemara has that discussion. Here by bittul harishus, I don't know. And it could be that I'm not remembering Gemara's coming up ahead where the Gemara discusses this, but I really, at this point, I don't know.
When some of them are bought the rishus, if they have stuff that's still in the chatzar, does it mean that other people can use them now?
Yeah.
They left a bicycle in.
Right. So is he giving up his rights to the chatzar and the property on the chatzar? I don't know. I mean, obviously, the main goal over here is to allow everyone else to carry and to transfer. Okay, those are the basics, the very basics of Bittul HaRishus. There's one other point I want to go over outside, and then again, we'll put our heads into the Mishnah, and we'll see the Mishnah inside. And that is the following. this bittul harishus. So let's say, okay, I made myself to be the only person who forgets things in this world. Let's say there's some other person in addition to me. So in other words, everyone here was compliant, contributed to the Erev, except for me and somebody else. Now, let me not identify that other person, but me and somebody else. We're the only two people who didn't contribute to the Erev. Can the two of us be mevatel to Rishus? The answer, of course, is sure. Why not? Meaning two people can be mevatel to Rishus. That's not going to be an issue. However, now this is going to be interesting because this is going to take a lot of our remainder of our morning this morning. What about this? Let's say, let's go back to the case where I'm the only one who wasn't... who didn't contribute to the Erev. For reasons which we can come up with, but let's imagine now that we want to carry from my house into the Chatzer. And collectively, everyone here in the Erev understands that we need to do that, for whatever reason. Can you give up your Rishus to me? Meaning, when I say you, I mean everyone else in the Chatzer, everyone who contributed to the Erev. Can you do the following? Basically, it's like now the inverse. I should be giving up my rishus to you, but in other words, for reasons which we can concoct, I need to carry from my house into the chatzer. Can everyone here in this room give up their rishus to me? And the answer is going to be yes. Yes. Everyone can give their rishus to me. Now, that will make me the sole proprietor of the chatzer, by everyone being mevatel, ceding the rishus to me, and now it'll be me and my chatzer. And that will allow me to carry from my house into the chatzer. It's odd. In other words, one could imagine, why should I benefit? But if we all agree to it, it will work. And we're gonna see that point as well in the Mishnah in the upcoming Gemara. Okay, that was all by way of introduction. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Anshei chatzer sheshachach echad mehem v'lo irev. So one person in the chatzah forgot to make an Erev. The Mishnah is describing me. So beso asim alahachnas malahotzi lo velahem. My house is off limits. Well, not, I don't really mean off limits, but cannot carry from my house into the chatzah. And that would be true for both me and for anyone else here in the chatzah. Lo velahem. Vishalahem mutar lo velahem. Now as far as your houses are concerned, you made an Erev. I cede in my rights to the chatzah. So for the rest of us in this room, aside from me, you can transfer from your house into the chatzer. I too can go into your house and transfer from your house into the chatzer. The Gemara is going to ask, why should that be? The Gemara is essentially going to answer, I'm viewed as a guest in your house. So I can carry from your house to the chatzer. Nasnu lo rishusan. If let's say, now the Mishnah here describes what I described earlier in the introduction. Let's say you cede all of your rights to me. Again, for reasons which we all agree are necessary. I'll just throw out an example. Let's say I have the Sefer Torah in my house. Okay? And whatever, we can't all gather in my house. My house is not big enough, whatever the case is. And now, we need to get the Sefer Torah from my house into the chatzer. So that we can have a minyan in the chatzer. Okay? Just if we can just imagine. So now we would all agree that the common good would be that you would cede your rights of the chatzer to me, so that we could take the Sefer Torah from my house into the chatzer. The Mishnah says it works. Nasnu lo rishusan, hu mutar vehein asurin. I could take the Sefer Torah from my house into the chatzer, but none of you can go into my house and carry from my house into the chatzer. Now that doesn't seem fair. Meaning, when the shoe was on the other foot, I was able to go into your house and carry into the chatzer. Why now, when you all were mevatel rishus to me, can we not say that you're guests by me, and you should be able to carry from my house into the chatzer? The Gemara is going to ask that question, and the Gemara says, it doesn't work the other way. Meaning, I can view myself as a guest by you, I can't say, even halachically, all of you are guests by me. Hayu shnayim osim zel zeh. Sorry. Right, who motor behina start? Hayushnayim osrim ze al ze. The two are answering one on the other. Meaning, let's say that there were two people who didn't contribute to the Erev, and those two people received the rishus from everybody else. That's not going to work. It has to be one person receiving the rights by everybody. Okay, we'll come back. We'll come back to that point later. The Mishnah lays down as fundamental law regarding this idea of bittul harishus. one person can give up his rishus. Two people can give up this rishus. One person can receive rishus, but two people cannot. Meaning that it has to be that the reception of rishus has to be by one person or one corporate entity. Meaning, right? Because that was the first case in the Mishnah. Meaning the first case in the Mishnah, whereas I didn't contribute to the Eruv, I can give my rishus to you, to all of you, but you made an Eruv. You're one corporate entity. So I can now give my rishus over to you. Meimas I nosin rishus. Now, the last point the Mishnah makes is, when is all this happening? When are we giving up rishus? So Beisham Ormim Mibol Yom Beisham says it has to be done before Shabbos. Or Beis Hil Ormim Mishechashecha, after it gets dark. Meaning on Shabbos itself. And obviously we felt like Beis Hillel, all the cases that we've been dealing with over the past number of days, has been assuming like Beis Hillel, that the Bitul Rishus is done on Shabbos. Mishinasim Rishus of Ahotzi, Ben Meshogim, Ben Memezit, Arisa Oster, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, after ceding your rights, you then carry. Can you recant on the ceding of your rights? Can you take back your bittul, to put it simply? So, according to Rav Meir, not only can you, but even if you transfer from your house into the chatz b'shogeg, you are taking back your bittul. And Rav Yehuda Omer b'mezid also b'shogeg, and also Rav Yehuda says no. If you do it b'mezid, yes, you're taking back your bittul, but not b'shogeg. Remember the Gemara we talked about yesterday's daf, question of shogeg atu mezid. Okay.
Right. Why doesn't he just mavadal his rishus, and then everybody can come.
And then everyone can come to him. So, right. So, I gotta be more creative in my example. You're right. Meaning, you're 100% correct. For whatever reason, it's gotta be that I have to take something out of my house. So, I gotta be more creative in terms of what would be that case. Because you're right. If I gave my rishus to you, so then everyone can come into my house. And take from.
Not according to the Chachamim.
Right, he's right. Okay. Beisu Udasar Chatzer Sharya Hechidami. So, first of all, we're going to make a point that we made already a number of times, but let's make it again. And that is that when you give up the rights to your Chatzer, you're not giving up your rights to your house. The Gemara says that you gave up the rights to your chatzer, but not to your house. And we subscribe to the position of the Chachamim, not Rabbi Eliezer, which is that by definition, by default, you give up the rights to your chatzer without your house. The Dari Inchi bebais below chatzer. A person can live in a house without a chatzer. It's done. I made the joke yesterday. I'll repeat the joke again today. It's like Captiva. It can be done. V'shelahen mutarlo v'lahen. Now, as far as everyone else is concerned, everyone can come into my house Everybody else's house, I can go into other people's houses. My taima, da have orech legabayo. Here's the Gemara says it, what I mentioned earlier. The way we view it is, I'm a guest by you, and therefore I can go into your house and I can transfer from your house into the chatzer. Nasnu lo rishusan, hu mutar vehein asurin. Let's go the other way. Now we're back in the Mishnah, where everyone ceded their rights to me. Here the Gemara asks the question, why does the Mishnah say that you can go into my house and transfer from my house into the chatzah? Why not? And why don't we make the same argument? Why can't we just simply say you're guest by me? So the Gemara says, Chalagabe Chamisha Have Oreach, Chamisha Lagabe Chalo Have Oreach. To say one person is a guest by five people, that's fine. To say five people, the Gemara just threw out a number, Rashi says. Don't get caught up in the number. But five people as a guest by one person, that the Gemara says that we can't entertain. Shema minam mevatlin, chozer mevatlin. Now, how do you read our Mishnah? As segmented, or do you read the Mishnah as like one storyline? Where the Mishnah basically is talking about, first, I'm giving up my rishus to everyone in the chatzer, and then on that very same Shabbos, everyone then sees their rishus back to me. So it sounds like our Mishnah is of the position that we could do bittul multiple times on the Shabbos. You'll remember that, right? That's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel that we saw earlier. So it sounds like our Mishnah is taking the Rav viewpoint which is that you could be mevatel v'chorez or mevatel. The Gemara says, no, don't conclude that way, but rather, ki orchin chala gabichem. Sorry, what happened? Hachikamar nasla reshusam ikaru hu muter v'he nasur. No, the Mishnah is not telling one story. The Mishnah is telling many stories, meaning that the first part of the Mishnah is one case study, and the second part is a totally different case study, but it's not part of the same story. Hayu shneim osrim zel ze pshita. The Gemara says, isn't that obvious? Lotzricha da hadachan minayu ubatole lechavre. Two people are receiving rishus. Our Mishnah says that's no good. In other words, the recipient of the bittul has to be one person or one entity, one eruv entity. But two people cannot receive. Why not? Very simple. Two people can't receive because an eruv works only if there's unification. If two people are receiving the bittul, we don't have unification. You're left with two people having rights to the chatzer. So it's not going to work. To which the Gemara says, isn't it obvious? So the Gemara says, no, ma'ad detem lishtarik, I'm sorry, pshita, lo tzricha dahadar chad minayu uvatale lechavre. After the two have received the bittul from everybody else, then one turns to the other and says, look, we are left with the total shares of the chatzer, you and I. How about this? You have 50%, I have 50%. I'm going to give my 50% over to you. I might have thought, it's a good havamina. Ma'u detema lishtare. Okay, so shouldn't it work now? The Gemara says, no. Kamash malan, dekevin debi'ina debatel, lo havale shir yusa ba'e chatzer. The Gemara says, no, it's not going to work. Even if subsequently one gives his 50% over to the other. Why? Because in the world of bittul, bittul only works where the immediate result, the immediate yield of the bittul is that one person ends with the chatzer. But if you have two people ending with a chatzer, even if subsequent to that, one gives to the other, it won't work. Bittul has to result in one person ending with the chatzer. Echa nosin rishos, hasulamali, inosin tanina, inotel tanina. When the Mishnah makes its summary statement, like what are we gaining from there? One person gives rishos, we knew that. One person receives rishos, we know that. Seifa itzrichle, shnaim nosin rishos, hanami pshita, two people can give rishos. The Gemara says, isn't that obvious? No, ma'u detema, ligzer dilma ase levitule lehu, kamash malan. I might have thought, well, if two people are giving rishos, I might have thought, well, if they can give, well, can't they receive? I might have thought that maybe we should make a gzera. The chiddush of the Mishnah is no such gzera. Okay. Ein notlin rishus. We're now on the top of Ein Amud Aleph. Lamali atzricha afagav da'amarle kanile amanas lahaknos. Even if we say, here's the story, I'm going to give you my rishus with the understanding that you're going to then pass it along to somebody else, The Gemara says that doesn't work. Now, in terms of shlichus, that's a different story. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. Okay, and quickly now, I know we're short on time, but quickly now, let's begin this next topic of discussion, one in which we talked earlier in the Masechta, but now we get to discuss it outright. This is the main source of this discussion. We've been now talking about Bittul Rishus, and we talked about it in the construct of a chatzer of many people. Look, again, let's go back to the simple case. I forgot to contribute to the Erev. Here's Shabbos. Okay, now the Erev doesn't work because of me. So what do? I have to be mevatel my rishos. I cede my rights. Okay, now, thank God, there's a number of us here in this room. Do I have to go to every single one of you and say, I cede my rights? Right, Stu, I cede my rights. Hedy, I cede. Do I have to make that statement declarative to every single person in this room, or perhaps sufficient if I just went to one of you and said, hey, I see my rights?
Everyone's benefiting.
Well, I know, I understand everyone's benefiting, but we're talking now about the procedure. Procedurally speaking, do I have to go to everyone, or if I go to one? Okay, so again, instinctively, intuitively, one would imagine I got to go to every single person. Meaning basically what I'm doing, think about what I'm doing. I'm yielding the rights of my chatzer to everyone in this room. So intuitively, one would think, I got to go to every single person in this room. What's the counter argument? What would be the argument to say that one of you is enough? Well, think about it. All of you made an Erev. You're one entity. You're one unit. So when I go to one of you, that one of you is representative of everybody. Now, I'm not saying that. That's Rashi. That idea comes straight out of Rashi. I'll show you the Rashi in just a moment. First, let's lay down the question. The Gemara says, okay. So this turns into a discussion between Abai and Rabbah. Chamisha shurim b'chatzar achad, I have five people living in one chatzar. V'shacha chachem ein v'lo iriv. When one person forgot and did not make an iriv. Kishu mevat reshus, tzarech levat l'chol echa v'echad olo. So he poses it as a question. Procedurally, do I have to go to everyone in the chatzar or no? Amar lei tzarech levat l'chol echad v'echad. The answer, he says straight out, you got to go to everybody. Not enough to go to one person. Now I'll show you the Rashi. Rashi says, Echad shelo irif kagon gimel diurim b'chatzar. Rashi here gives a simple example. Three people living in the chatzar, shnayim irvu, two of them made an irv, shlishi shelo irif, mevatel echad min ha'arvin, umutar. Dehai b'hadichavre irif. Alma ein tzarech levata ela la'echad dekulo havikechad. Meaning that if I'm going to one of the members of the Erev, well, he's one of a group. And so basically, me talking to one, it's as if I talk to the group. So again, that was the question. The answer says straight out. You got to go to every single person. Okay, and now what we're going to do is the following. We have a Braisa coming up. It's not a very long Braisa, but there are seven distinct points made in the Braisa, all regarding the subject of Bitul HaRishus. I'll quickly run through the Braisa. We'll just go through the first give and take of the Gemara, and then we'll stop for today. In this Braisa, basically every case is laid out. I'm going through it quickly now, and tomorrow obviously we'll go through it again slower as we go through each point. Point number one, Eisve, the Gemara here starts with the Braisa. Echad shelo irav nosim reshuso lechad sheirav. One person who didn't make an erev can cede his rights to the person who did make an erev. Shnayim sheirav nosim reshuso lechad. Two people who made an erev can cede their rights to one person who didn't make an erev. Shelo irav. Ushnayim shelo irav nosim reshuso lechad sheirav. Two people can give up their rights to two people who made an erev. O lechad shelo irav. Or to one person who didn't make an erev. Avalo echad shirav nosim reshuso lechad shelo irav. One person who did not make an erev. One person who made an eruv cannot cede his rights to one person who didn't make an eruv, right? Because again, as a member of the eruv, you can't automatically speak on behalf of everyone. Ein shnayim sheirvu, notice the reshusin l'shnayim shlo irvu. How about two yielding to two? We already know this from the Mishnah. No way. You can't have two people being the recipient of the bittul. Ein shnayim shelo irvu nosim reshuson l'shnayim shelo irvu. Two people who didn't make an eruv cannot yield to two people who did not make an eruv. Fine. That's the braisa. There are seven points. I didn't number them, but there are seven points in the braisa. However, for our purposes now, we're just going to go over point number one. Ketani mia. Look at that very first point of the braisa. Ketani mia resha. Echa shelo irev nosim reshuso la'echa she'irev. I have, let's do this really simply. I have three people total in the Eruv, in the Chatzar. Two of them made an Eruv. One of them didn't. What does the Mishnah say? The one who didn't can yield his rights to one of the members who did. Okay? What does it sound like? You don't have to go to everybody.
Because they're one entity.
Hey, Chidami, Ida like Bahade Mana Eruv.
In this case, he has to go to the one or not?
It sounds like from the Braisa, he only has to go to one. Of the two.
There are only two of them there, yeah.
Okay, fine, but it sounds like for the price, he only has to speak to one of them. So now, what do you want to tell me? That there are only two people in total? That can't be. Because if he's talking to somebody who made an Erev, well, who did he make an Erev with? Obviously, there's a third member of the Chatzar. So, Achrina Bahade Man Erev, El Pshita De Ika Achrina Bahade. It must be there's somebody else there. Uketani Le'echad She'irev. And meanwhile, the simple pshat of the braisa is that the one who didn't contribute to the Erev only needs to be mevatar reshus to one Erev member. That's what it sounds like from the braisa. So that would be a good support for Abaye. It's funny, the Gemara from this point forward thinks that Abaye disagrees with Rabba. Meaning, the way it was laid out for us, Abaye was asking Rabba a question, and like Rabba gave an answer. Okay, but from this point forward, the Gemara thinks Abaye disagrees with Rabba. Rabba hacha b'maiskina. Now, according to Rava, how are you going to deal with this braisa? It is strange because Rava says that you do need to go to everybody. What is he going to do about this braisa? The Gemara is going to give some ukimta. Dahava umis. The Gemara says, yeah, you know, going into Shabbos, so he made an error with somebody else. Where is he right now? Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. The Bryce is dealing, I know it's morbidly funny, but the Bryce is dealing with a case where the other Erev member died. And so therefore, there's only this person left. So, Idahava umesem estefa. Gemara says, really? That's what the Bryce is talking about? Meaning, let me ask you a question. Can you do this for the rest of the Bryce? Aval eina chashir of nosin reshusel echa shalo erev. One who made an Erev cannot give his rights to the non-Erev member. Idahava umes, well, if the Bryce is talking about, where's the other Erev member? Well, he's dead. Well, if that's true, am I low? Why can't he give up his rights? He's now the lone member of the Erev. El Pshita Deisa, it's obvious that the other Erev member, alive and well. So, Isa Umidaseifa Isa Reshanam Isa. Now that I've showed you that's true by the later cases in the Braisa, now in the first case of the Braisa, so don't tell me he's dead. So, Midir Yahakadisa Vakadisa. So the Gemara says, that doesn't bother me so much. The Gemara says the first case in the Braisa could be where he's dead. Second case in the Braisa could be where he's not dead. Meaning we don't necessarily need to give one consistent ukimta throughout the entire Braisa. It's funny, a lot of other times in the Gemara is like an ironclad rule. It's one case in the Mishnah, one case in the Braisa. Here the Gemara says not necessarily. Okay, so again, we're in the middle of a discussion. When I'm Evalta Rishus, I have to go to every member of the Erev. Can it's enough if I go to one member? Rava's answer is very clear. Rava says you got to go to every single member. And from this point going forward, we're going to try to prove his case one way or another. I'll try. I think I'll be able to. Okay. I'll try to catch up. Okay. Continued Refuah Shlema. Four Binyamin Zevakon Ben Shimon Rivka. Four Rafael Zaka Avram Ben Yakir Avigail. Ilu Nishmas Rav Yaakov Ben Yosef. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll meet tomorrow, regular time. Rabbi Chananya Ben Akash Amar.